All right. I want to read with you guys from John chapter 10, and we'll start at verse 11, where Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." All right, now you can sit down again. All right, so in previous times when Koen would ask me to preach here, he would always have a series and a topic that would suit me. And that's very nice. I like that, a little bit of framework. But this time Koen said, I asked Koen, "So what do you want me to preach about?" He said, "Well, just see what the Lord's give you." Okay, so I don't like that. But anyway, I'm going to give it a try. I thought this gives me the opportunity to sort of dive into a topic that I would like to talk about, or that is on my mind for a while. And a topic, or a question that actually, that I've been thinking about lately, or that's something I've been working on, is basically the question, who is Jesus? Jonathan, you know, he already did good pre-work for me, but who is Jesus? And of course, this question doesn't come out of nowhere. Some of you might still know that around this time last year, I was preparing for a cool adventure. Me and some colleagues, actually, we went to Paris to the Olympics because I work in sports ministry. I wanted to raise awareness for sport and faith, and I didn't just go there. I went there running. So I did 14 days of 14 marathons running to Paris to raise awareness, but also raise funds for the movement of sport and faith in the Netherlands. And one of the things that we're actually now working on, after the summer, we will release a Mark's Gospel specially for athletes. And the specialty about it is mainly the pictures, because it's just the Mark's Gospel. And it has studies, 6 small studies, small for athletes. And they revolve around the question, who do you think I am? The question that Jesus actually asks his disciples in Mark. Who do you think I am? So this is where we are working on. A lot of times we ask athletes, or athletes ask us, who do you think Jesus is? So, of course, I have an answer to the question, but I thought to myself, maybe there's more. And not so long ago, I was at a conference and I heard a guy talk about the same question, who is Jesus? But then from the book of John. And because in the book of John, there's actually 7 statements like this. So I am, and so I figured, let's pick one of those 7 statements. But whenever I study or read something from the Gospel of John, actually, we always have to keep in mind the verses from chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. There it says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written to you that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So the preacher that I was listening to, who inspired me to go after these I am statements, he said, you know, when we read John, he says, I carefully picked out the things that I think that are important for us to realize that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God, and that by living, or that by believing, we may have life in his name. So out of all the miracles Jesus did, and I believe there are many, he only picked 7. And so whenever you read in John one of the miracles, the intention of that is this. And then he also picked 7 I am statements. And you can connect them together. And so actually, there's a lot more to study for me, to teach to my athletes. There's a lot more to study for us. But today, I just wanted to start with one, and that is that I am the shepherd. I hope it inspires you to study more, but let's start here. So, before we go into this I am statement of I am the good shepherd, I think we need to get to the context, right? Because right before here, as I said, there's one out of the seven miracles. Just before God or Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he healed a blind man. It was a blind man who was sitting beside the road, and when his disciples and he walked past him, the first question his disciples asked to Jesus was, who has sinned? Me or him or his parents? It's a funny question. It wouldn't come to mind when I see a sick person. But that was where the disciples were with their minds. Who has sinned? How has this happened? And then already Jesus shows him, his disciples, that he is truly a good shepherd, because he goes to the man and he heals him. That's what a good shepherd would do, in my opinion. Not really care about who sinned, but care about the person. But then the real commotion starts, right? First, his neighbors react with surprise. Then the Pharisees, they don't know how to deal with it. And then the parents are being brought in, and they keep quiet because they didn't want to get in trouble with these Pharisees. And then the man is questioned again. And in the end, he ends up at exactly the same place where he sort of started. In verse 34, we can read, from chapter 9, we can read, they replied, those were the Pharisees, you were steeped with sin, or you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. But again, Jesus is showing that he is a good shepherd, because he hears about this, and just like in the parable we know from Luke, where the shepherd goes out to find that one sheep out of the 100, he knows exactly where to find this guy. In verse 35 to 38, we read, Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Well, who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. And Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. It's good to realize this context, because after this, Jesus will start talking to the Pharisees, because again, there's debate about this miracle, and the Pharisees are, you know, they don't agree with everything. But then Jesus goes and tells them, I am the good shepherd. And it's good to know the context, because he has actually already shown that he is the good shepherd. So show it first before you say it. I like that. All right. We're going to go into the story, but we have some more work to do before that, because we have to talk about something else. And before I talk about it, I have a question for you guys. Because in my work with athletes, there's many of them who have big muscles, and they like to put very beautiful tattoos on the muscles. There's many cases in which they put animals on it. And I was just curious, like, this is a famous Dutch athlete. I don't know if you recognize him by his tattoo, but he compares himself to a lion, right? He would like to be as powerful or something as a lion. So my question to you guys, really quick, and share it with your neighbor, if there is an animal that you really like about his characteristics, which one would it be and why? So take 1 or 2 minutes, and then we'll continue. All right, guys. We can talk about animals a lot, I know. There's some fascinating creatures around. But let's bring it back. All right, so I'm sure most of you have mentioned some fascinating creatures. You know, you want to be as strong as a bear, or as fast as a leopard, or as a jaguar, or, you know, there's fascinating creatures, and
we would like to have their superpowers, right? But if we're going to dive into this story, we have to be very much aware that in the Bible, in general, humans are not very often compared to animals. And when they are compared to an animal, it's usually a sheep. I don't know if anybody of you has a tattoo of a sheep, but it's usually not. It's usually not the first animal you would put on your skin, right? And why is this important? Because if we want to follow the Good Shepherd, we have to realize we are the sheep. And I did a little bit of research, and the superpower of a sheep, if he has any, is that he can recognize faces in general very well. So he's been made to live in a group, and he remembers faces and places. But in general, the main characteristics of a sheep is that, or the biggest problem of a sheep probably, is that whenever disaster strikes, the wolves come, whenever panic comes up, he just doesn't know what to do. Just runs anywhere, and he's basically lost without a shepherd. And we have to realize that, to be honest. If we're diving into this story, and if you don't realize that we are the sheep in this story, but then I don't think it will make a lot of sense. All right, then one more thing before we really go into it. We have to talk about the shepherd, right? I don't know, like I don't know, we're coming, like in this church, we're coming from different countries, different backgrounds. But in the Netherlands, we don't have a lot of real shepherds. And nowadays, like since a couple of years, we have some wolves here in the Netherlands. And every now and then, a sheep gets attacked by wolves. So we have that problem in the Netherlands. But the reason why these sheep are being attacked by the wolf is not because of bad shepherds. It's basically because there are no shepherds. Right? In the Netherlands, they stand in a field, very safe. We put some rope around it or a little bit of water, and they just walk around the grass. And then if the shepherd comes, it's an easy target. So in our Dutch culture, the image of a shepherd can be a little bit soft, like a gentle guy with some wool sweater holding a cute little lamb. But in the time of Jesus, being a shepherd was very tough. Shepherds would live outside, defend the sheep from wild animals, sleep near them, and fought off thieves and wolves. And they would have to guide the flock of sheep from very dry places to places where there's at least a little bit of grass. It was a rough kind of existence. But these were wild guys. They would really fight for their sheep if they were good shepherds. So to get into the story, we need to really understand that this was the picture Jesus was talking about, a tough guy who would really defend his sheep. All right, I think we're almost there. Let's go. The foundation has been there. We have arrived at verse 11 of chapter 10, where Jesus says for the first time, "I am the good shepherd." Let's pay attention here, because Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. They could definitely use a lesson in shepherding, probably, but they would also be very aware of what Jesus was saying here. "I am," in the Jewish language, that's how they called God. Yahweh, "I am who I am," is something they wouldn't say very often. So "I am" is already, okay, what are you? And then the good shepherd is a direct reference to Ezekiel 34, verse 22 and 24, where the prophet says, "Therefore I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them, and he will tend them and be their shepherd. The Lord will be their God," or "I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken." So Jesus absolutely got the attention of the Pharisees. I hope I have your attention too now, because it's been a long introduction. But let's go. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I want you to think, just 1 minute, let's not do the talking again, because once you say, guys, I start talking, then it's going to be long. So let's think about who was your best coach, your best mentor, your best teacher, the person in your life that you were like, yeah, that guy really changed my life for the good. All right, think about it 1 second. All right, so mine was probably a football coach. As you guys, of some of you I know, I ended up being a somewhat of a professional ice speed skater, but my football coach, I had that one. I was about 14 years old, and I was still doing two sports, football and skating. And I was reasonably good at both. I was like in the top team of my club with skating, or with football, and also in among the best riders of my club with skating. And at that point, you know, both coaches, they came to me and they were like, Jan, a choice, you have to choose. It's unavoidable. You cannot do both at this level. If you want to be good at one, you need to give up the other. And I just couldn't, I couldn't make a choice. I liked them both too much. This the team aspect of football, but the skating and everything there, I liked it too much. So at the end of one training session, my football coach, he took me aside. He said, Jan, you are a real asset to the team. I'd be really, really, really disappointed if you stopped playing football. But Jan, when I see and hear you, how passionate you are about skating, my honest advice to you is go skating. You see what he does? He set aside his interest, his own interest, the interest for the team he was coaching, his ambitions maybe for the team. I mean, I was not that good, but hey. And choose to put my joy and my future first. What a guy, right? I still remember him. I know his name. I've never seen him after. I left football and I never seen him after, but he's still one of those voices in my mind that I remember. Well, I hope your mentor, your coach, your teacher, maybe your parents have had a similar impact on your life. You have that one person or a couple of persons. And I think Jesus is like that, but then 1,000 times better. If we learn to listen to the Good Shepherd, then his voice will take us a better, much better places for sure. But like in verse 11, he said, the Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He is the kind of coach that would literally lay down his life for you. And not long after he made this statement, he's actually doing it again, right? So we all know that Jesus eventually died on the cross for you and for me. So to know what a good shepherd is, we also have to know what a not so good shepherd is, right? And Jesus, he shares about that in the verses after that, after this. So he talks about the hired hand. So that's, yeah, a hired hand. The hired hand, he says, is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. So, I mean, I think it's sometimes hard to how do you translate a parable to real life, but sometimes we might be following the wrong shepherd. It might not be the best shepherd to follow. It might be a hired hand. And this can be, you know, just your general performance in school or money or status or whatever, but you can be following it and be thinking, hey, this is going the right way. We're in green pastures. We're doing well. And I think in general, when I look at sheep, especially in the Netherlands, you know, they're in these green fields and they have a comfortable life. And and everything looks well. We have it under control. And then a hired hand is a perfect person to have, right? He can just sit with the sheep, be a little bit around, feed them whenever, make sure they go to a next field if the grass is too short. I don't know, I'm not a shepherd, but I can picture that. So a hired hand can be okay, but like I said, one of the main characteristics of a sheep is that whenever panic strikes, he doesn't know what to do. And that's when we come to the hired hand as well, because whenever panic strikes, whenever danger comes for the hired hand, he's like, oh, wait, this is just a job for me. And if my job might end up me getting killed, you know what? I'm going somewhere else. And I totally get it. If I was a hired hand, I might do the same. But Jesus says, no, you are my sheep. And I will lay down my life for this sheep to protect us from the wolves. And I think if we are honest with each other, today we sometimes don't see the wolves, but they are there. And when we talk about wolves, we're not just talking about little scary little things in life, but these are the things that we as sheep, because that's what we are not able to protect ourselves from. And I think there's a lots of examples of things we cannot protect ourselves from, probably. I think in general, I'm not going to list them, but it's like I said, as sheep, we can have the feeling that everything's under control, but when something really scary comes, a scary big wolf that comes with death or destruction or whatever, then we will see what our shepherd is made of. And so maybe you are here today and you are facing one of those wolves. You're thinking, oh, my life is a mess at this point. One of those really scary ones, one of those wolves we cannot protect you from. You cannot protect yourself from it. The kind of wolf that would make you panic as a sheep. Then today, my encouragement to you is to run to Jesus, to the Good Shepherd. He says, I will lay down my life for you. I really will. And I don't know how that will look like for you, but don't run away in panic. Don't scatter across the fields. The Good Shepherd is there and he's ready to lay down his life for you. He is the Good Shepherd. So, that's already a good story. But it doesn't stop here because he says again in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Well, in my work, working with athletes, there's a lot of voices for them. And I think in your lives, it's not different, but it's the life that I relate to. Like, how many minutes do you play? How many minutes are you playing? What are your statistics? Did you make the team? Are you going to be scoring enough? Are you injured? Are you fit? All these questions are being asked and voices are being told. If you're a professional athlete, the voices in media are even worse. You can probably never do it right unless you win every time, which nobody ever does. But in normal day life, I think it's really no different. Whether you're a CEO from a big company, a PhD student, or just a stay-at-home parent, In this life, there is so many voices. And sometimes they're very loud. You're not good enough. You need to try harder. Who do you think you are? Even in preparing this sermon, I was like, really, am I going to say these things? Am I hearing the shepherd's voice well enough? Am I good enough? But I want you to know that in the middle of this world, there's one voice we can trust. It's the voice of the shepherd. It's Jesus saying, I am the shepherd. I know you. I really know you. And I see your heart. And if you are here now and Jesus is your good shepherd, then he knows your voice, but you should also know his voice. And it might be a very gentle whisper. somewhere deep inside of you, in the back of your mind. But he will always try to tell you something. And I think the main thing that he is trying to tell you always is the same thing that he was trying to tell Jesus. And he was trying to tell this to Jesus when he was getting baptized. I don't know if you know this, or you probably all know the story that Jesus got baptized. It's in Mark 1, but then he got baptized, he got out of the water, the dove of the Holy Spirit came down, and that God told him something, right? And we have to remember that this is before everything happened, right? We know what came after. But Jesus, the ministry of Jesus hasn't started yet. He hasn't performed any miracles. He didn't die for us yet. And then there was a voice from the heaven. And it wasn't, "All right, you tiger, you go get him." Right? No, it was this. Mark 1, verse 11. "And the voice came from heaven saying, 'You are my beloved son. In you I am well pleased.'" Even before Jesus was going to do all this great stuff, God was going to wanted to speak to him. Yet he took this opportunity of the baptism of his son to say one thing, really loud, really, really clear, really loud, because the people around it were able to hear it. And he said, "You are my beloved son. In you I am well pleased." So don't forget that Jesus didn't do anything significant. This was really important. And I believe that God is, as a good shepherd, Jesus as a good shepherd, is saying the same thing to us as many times as he can, as often as we can hear it. "You are my beloved son or daughter. In you I am well pleased," because it's not about what do you perform or how many good deeds you do. It's because God, he is your shepherd. All right. One more point. Since we've just come out of the Send series, I want to highlight one more thing. It's John 10, verse 16. "I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." The good shepherd, Jesus, is not done calling his sheep. Jesus says, "I'm not finished yet. It's not just the Jews. There's more people that are supposed to become part of my flock." People who don't know him yet. Maybe you are here and you don't know him yet. Maybe there's people in your surroundings that don't know him yet, that never really realized what the voice of the shepherd is like. So first of all, if you haven't accepted Jesus as your good shepherd, please don't go away from here unless you talk to somebody about what that would look like, how that could be in your life. But for everybody who does know Jesus and has sort of learned to deal with his voice and follow it, I want to take you to a Dutch saying. And when you use a Dutch saying, you also have to be careful, right? Does it translate? Is always the question. So I checked it with some of my colleagues, and at first they said, "Well, maybe. Well, let's go. The saying goes, "If one sheep crosses the dam, the rest will follow." So I asked my American colleagues, "Do you have a saying that's similar?" They said, "Yes, we have one. It's, if one sheep jumps off a cliff, the others will follow." I was like, "Well, it's not. What do you mean? It's a bit negative. I mean, if all sheep jump off a cliff, they'll die." So, but in Dutch, it's a little bit more positive. I think maybe we Dutch are just in general more positive. I don't know. But sheep aren't known for being smart. But as according to the saying, I haven't checked on really facts in that sense. But according to the saying, it says, if a shepherd wants to lead his flock across a dangerous passing, let's say a dam, it only needs to convince one sheep. And then the rest will follow. I hope you see where I'm getting at. Because if you are a sheep of God, part of God's flock, and you have learned to trust the voice you are called to follow, then you can let other sheep see that the voice of the good shepherd is worth the trust. If you stand up in your everyday life, in your work, in your school, in your sports, wherever you go, and you realize, I will follow the voice of the shepherd, whatever that looks like in your context. I think we've talked a lot about that already in the Sense series, how that can practically look. So, but if you stand up and say like, yes, I'll follow the voice of the shepherd, then the people around you, the people around you will also see that your shepherd, your God, your Jesus, is worthy to be trusted. So I really, if we're talking about following Jesus, the good shepherd, following his voice, it's not just for the first time saying, yes, Lord, will you be my good shepherd? It's for everyday life. Like every day again, we're called to follow the voice of the shepherd. And then we can also show other people that. And I just want to challenge you today as well to think about that one person maybe that you're already in contact with that is has maybe shown interest in Jesus, in who he is, what it means for him to be, what it means to follow him as a good shepherd. And, you know, maybe a teammate, maybe somebody in your school or in your job or just your neighborhood, your neighbor, your whatever, that person who's asked you about Jesus. How can you show this person that God can be trusted or Jesus can be trusted? And, you know, pray for him maybe today. So I'm actually already getting close to my end, to the end of the service, sermon. But I want to close with where we started. It's going to be a full circle. Because we started with John chapter 20. First, and I want to close there again, because it says there, but these are written that you may believe, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That you may believe, sorry, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So everything John has written about Jesus as a good shepherd and all the other I am statements that you hopefully study later, is meant for us to, first of all, for ourselves, realize that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God, and that we may have life in him. So guys, Jesus is not just a theory. He's not a religious idea. He is the shepherd who knows you, who gave his life for you, and who was seeking others, who is still seeking others through you. And today, he's asking you basically just one simple question. Will you follow me? So not just on Sunday, but also on Monday, in our jobs, in our schools, in everything we do, will you follow the voice of the shepherd? So I just want to close off by taking a moment of silence and pray for ourselves. Maybe the worship team can break the silence a little bit. But to think about which voices are dominating our lives at this point. Where are we not letting the good shepherd speak into our lives, but other voices? Also, we can think about what are the wolves of our lives? What are those things in our life that we absolutely need Jesus protection over, because we cannot protect ourselves? Are there things that we are still trying to control, even though they're not in our control? And then lastly, we can think about the people around us who are part of the flock, who are the sheep around us that haven't learned to trust the voice of Jesus yet. So let's think about that, and if there is something in this sermon that has caught your attention that you're like, yeah, I need to work on this, I want to go with this, I want to follow Jesus more, then I just want to encourage you all to come forward and with have a time of prayer with the people from the prayer team. And yeah, I would just like to pray with you now to close it off, and then we'll continue. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for being our shepherd, and not just a shepherd, but the good shepherd, that you have already laid down your life for us, and that we can know from the pages of Scripture that your voice can be trusted. Among all the other voices in the world, your voice is the one we can trust. And I pray that after today, we will grow more in our knowledge and in our ability to recognize this voice, and that this voice will be our guiding path for our lives, Lord. And I pray that as we start or keep going and following your voice, and that you will lead us through difficult places, but also to very beautiful places, that the people around us will see it, and that they will also start following you. Not just us, because we're nice people to follow, but because they realize that we are following you, Lord. And I pray for our testimony as we go out, and I pray for our hearts, Lord, that we will, devote them to following you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.